Nice to start the morning off with some bebop. And as Bobby Humphrey said, you are listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, and also to add streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. Coming up next, Good Morning Nueva York, with me, your host, King Downing. Good morning.
Sky, you know how I feel.
Yeah, how are you feeling? Tell me. It's time for Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We will be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. If you're waking up now, rise and shine with us. If you're already up, stay with us. And if you're one of the many overnight or essential workers just getting home, let us tuck you in. We opened up the program with Nothing, and I'm not going to say anything else because it's by this morning's guests, so stay tuned and find out who they are and what they're up to. And then, of course, our theme song, Feeling Good by Andy Bay and the Bay Sisters. On today's program, in the first half, two creative collaborators put their heads and talents together to blow the horn on gender and transgender equity. They're holding two nights of audience interactive arts later this week, right in the middle of Times Square. And you can join them, and they join us this morning to talk about this event. In the second half of the program, No Justice, No Sports, mainstream black entertainment moves into the social justice field. They held a national summit in Midtown Manhattan this weekend. We'll talk to you about the gathering. We'll take you there and play some of the public service announcements that they have created by police brutality survivor families telling their stories. So, don't go anywhere. But first, weather and transit. It's 83 degrees, partly cloudy, a high of 91, a low of 71, sunrise 5:46, sunset 8:18. For the morning, we're looking at 86 degrees, cloudy, no chance of rain. For the afternoon, 89 degrees, scattered thunderstorms, 60% chance of rain. For the evening, 74 degrees, more chances of scattered thunderstorms, 35% chance of rain. The heat advisory is still going on. Stay cool. Wear your hat, wear your shades, saunter or sachet as they do down south in the hot weather. On to transit. There are delays on the J, no service on the Z. Planned service changes on the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, A, C, B, D, F, G, J, Z, N, Q, W, and S, I, R. You know, there's so many changes going on, I always feel like I'm better seeing which ones are not going to be changing. For more information on your commute, go to mta.info. And now, on with the program.
Concern over the permanence of your love robs me of all enjoyment. His condition is not very different from that of the peasant, only he exploits more wage labor.
Good morning, Nueva York. If you're just joining us, I'm King Downing. I will be here till 7 a.m. I'm your host, Michael G. Haskins, is engineering in studio. In the background, Valuable Human. And that song is by our guests today, but they're not here to talk about the music because this is from an album that hasn't been released yet, and they'll be back to talk about that later. But Valuable Human is by She's Excited and Clara Francesca. And earlier, we opened up the show, and I didn't say who it was then, but that was the song Nothing by She's Excited and Disco Heads. And I am excited to tell you about an event that's coming up and then introduce our guests. Two creative collaborators put their heads and talents together to blow the horn on gender and transgender equity. They're holding two nights of audience interactive arts later this week, right in Times Square. They're here with us this morning to talk about it and tell you how you can participate. So the event is called Wicked Equity. It's live and free this Thursday and Friday, July 27th and 28th, at Anita's Way in Times Square, and that's in New York City, in case you don't know. And joining us are the co-creators of Wicked Equity, Anna Richman. That's the proper pronunciation, but she also goes by Anna Richman. And so good morning, Anna.
Hi, good morning, King.
Working on my German pronunciation, and then Clara Francesca, who is co-collaborating with Anna on this great event. Good morning, Clara.
Good morning, King. Good to speak with you.
Thank you for joining me. So the first thing that I wanted to get to was, when I think of the word wicked, I think of Broadway, the play The Wiz, and the play Wicked. And then I also think of those people in Boston who will probably be saying today, God, it's wicked hot out here today. So what is Wicked Equity to you all, starting with Anna?
Thank you very much. I have to say that for this event, I am co-collaborating with Clara. Clara is the main organizer here, and I'm super happy to collaborate with her on this, because we're celebrating Make Us Visible, an idea that I came up with, and this is how we work, and I'm so excited that this is how I can work with Clara, because both of us, we have all these ideas, and we come together, and then together we realize them. So yeah, Clara, what about the Wicked Equity?
Sure. So Wicked Equity was the name given between myself, our co-founder, Katie Payton, and also Nam Le from Pollinate for the bigger festival called Hashtag Make Us Visible. And the word wicked is exactly what we wanted to conjure in you, King. So I'm glad you picked it up, this sense of Broadway, because this sub-festival we're doing on Thursday 28th and Friday 29th of July of this week is going to be in Times Square, so it's right in the heart of Broadway. So this sort of sense of Wicked the Musical and all these sort of fanciful events that happen in the middle of the center, I couldn't say that we specifically conjured it to be alongside Boston's wicked hot weather, but also this idea that there's something delicious and juicy and wicked and important and powerful and mystical in us really having an earnest conversation about gender equity on the public streets that we share. And so that's why we thought wicked equity would be a good way to draw the audience's attention as they walk through Times Square and Anita's Way this week, to talk about gender equity and having more representation of gender statues, of, you know, majority female and non-binary people on the streets of New York City, which was a vision that Anne had, and we were able to create this with some incredible augmented reality artists.
So, Anne, tell us what's going to happen down there. People who go down on the 28th and 29th from 5 to 8 p.m., what are they going to see, feel, hear, do, touch, maybe taste?
It's going to be a two-day festival. They will be able to explore all the 31 AR monuments of women, female-identifying, non-binary artists. And these statues are, in theory, also located all across New York City, because every one of these AR monuments is paired with a physical statue of a man here in New York City, because we thought it would be great to create a new balance and actually represent more than half of the population in New York City as well, because, as we all know, unfortunately, more than 90% of the physical statues in New York City are men, right? So people can, with their own smartphones, just explore all these amazing statues and interact with them, which I'm really excited about. And on top of that, we will have live performers, we will have dancers, which I'm super excited about. And there's also going to be music with bubonic clowning and live improvisation, which Clara, Yu King, and I are going to do. And the people are, I think they're going to be drawn in and participate with us, slowly move with us, accessible moving, but then perhaps also participating like in creating a soundscape with us, which I'm excited about. And then there's going to be much more, Clara.
So, Clara, we have a trailer of sorts from Make Us Visible. Can you tell us what we're going to hear and how it's connected to these coming events on Thursday and Friday?
Yeah, for sure. So I believe what we're about to hear is one of the audio tour samples of the hashtag Make Us Visible. So audience members right now from the comfort of their home can log on to, at the moment, the landing page is xreensemble.com, and on there they will see all the 31 augmented reality gender equity monuments that Anne was talking about. And accompanied to these monuments are audio tour files, so you can get a history of why the AR artist has paired their AR piece alongside the physical male statue that Anne was talking about. So I believe that's what we have coming up next, and that we'll be celebrating the Wicked Equity on Thursday and Friday this week.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Welcome. The Extended Reality Ensemble XRE presents hashtag Make Us Visible NYC March 2022. New York City strives to be the best place in the world for women to succeed. Yet, the 150 statues which occupy our public parks tell another story. 91% of them depict men. Why is gender diversity shockingly absent from public sculpture? The curators hope that by honoring the millions of people of marginalized genders living in our community, we can imagine and create new ways to be seen in New York City, transforming our public spaces into a reflection and representation of our diverse values. As you journey with us on Make Us Visible, a visual and audio sensorial installation in the five boroughs of New York City, we invite you in a conversation about the gender politics of monuments in public spaces. Feel free to engage with us in the courageous conversations by posting on social media, share your images with our hashtag to hashtag Make Us Visible, and let's transform the sculptural landscape of our cities.
So there you have a trailer of sorts for Make Us Visible, and that one referred to a March event, but we're now talking about the upcoming event that's this Friday, this Thursday and Friday, July 28th and 29th, at Anita's Way in Times Square. So, and tell me, 91% of the statues are male, and of course, that doesn't surprise me or anybody. Tell me one of the more notorious men, maybe somebody who women would tear, whose statue women would tear down if they could get to it, and then tell me a statue about a woman that's somewhere here, who she is, what she did, and where the statue is.
You mean an AR monument of a woman, or you mean a physical statue that New York City already realized? Because New York City is actually working on.
You choose. Are you on speaker, by the way?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. All right. You can get a little closer. So, yeah, it's your choice.
Okay. Wonderful. So, I guess one of the most controversial male statues here is, of course, Columbus, the Columbus Circle. What is really exciting to me is we had several artists that were interesting in pairing their AR monuments with Columbus. One was an artistic duo, a gender fluid duo from Italy, because of course there's Italian heritage by Columbus. And the other one is an American, and he created Lozen Apache Spiritual Warrior, which I find very powerful, that we have Native American, female Native American paired with Columbus right now. And New York City is trying to set up once in a while physical statues of female persons. Here in Riverside Park, for example, we have Anna Rusa. But yeah, of course it's not enough. And when I had the idea for this event, I figured augmented reality is just such a powerful new technology to make this happen, because we can be quicker than actually setting up physical statues. We do not need permission by the city. We can all make this change happen just in the moment if artists create monuments for us. And we were really, really lucky that we found a lot of artists that were instantly, despite there was no funding, they were instantly like hooked up by the idea and said, yes, I want to be a part of this, and I want to start making this change, and I want to start to create a new balance. So we're really, really grateful and super excited that this exhibit kicked off on March 1st, and it's going to be online for one whole year. It's going to be in the city for one whole year. So it's still going on, and everybody can have a look and explore the exhibition.
So we will keep promoting that. And I want to let folks know that you are listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. The program is Good Morning, Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We will be here until 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. And we are talking about the Wicked Equity, the event for gender and transgender equity, live and free this coming Thursday and Friday from 5 to 8 p.m., July 28th and 29th at Anita's Way in Times Square. And joining us to talk about that are the creator, Clara Francesca, and her co-creator, Anna Richman. I'm working on my German, or Anne Wichman, depending on your way of pronouncing. And I believed that we should speak in the languages of people, even it, because I'm sure that people find English challenging, and people will say, hey, please pronounce my name in the correct way. So how would you say, before I ask you that question, let me just also say that we're going to be opening up the phone lines now. If you have any questions about AR, about this event, anything that you want to talk about in addition to the arts and what's coming up, you can call us at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. The WBAI Good Morning Nueva York listener line is brought to you by three special groups of people. The first are our members, people who have donated as little as $25 a month to support this community-sponsored, 62-year-old listener-sponsored radio station. where else can you learn about artistic things like this and a progressive take on everything that's happening in this world now? And you know there's so much going on, and so many of you come here to get the bottom line. And we hope you will support our bottom line by going to give2wbai.org. Our second group of sponsors of the Good Morning Nueva York WBAI listener line are our WBAI buddies. These are folks who have decided to make a monthly automatic contribution from their accounts to our station's accounts for as little as $10 a month. They also can go to give2wbai.org, and we hope you will join them. And even if you're already a supporter, make an additional donation. Our listener line is also brought to you by our third category of donors, and those are the people who have pledged to support our Tower Fund. If you're a regular listener, you know we're still urging you to join this. It costs $17,000 a month for a nonprofit community radio station to host its transmitter and its tower on top of 4 Times Square. That is a steep rent, and we have caught up and fallen behind, and now we're doing another round of pledges, a special additional pledge, hoping that you will support us being able to keep the radio station on the air. And you may say, well, I check it out on the internet, but even our signal that gets to you through the servers goes up through the transmitter and the tower before it gets there. So no matter which way you check us out, we need that, and we're asking you to support us. So go to give2wbai.org or 212-209-2950. Give2wbai.org or 212-209-2950. Please do it now. So let's turn back to some of the organizations that are participating in this, some of the artists and other types of performers who are joining us. You have one called Flex Dance, and we want to take a listen to that. And we're standing by for your calls at the same time, but tell us about Flex Dance and how they're representative of some of the groups who are going to be joining on the 28th and 29th, Clara.
Yeah, for sure. Flex Dance program is a really phenomenal program that we were lucky to work with as artists and organizers September of 2021. And so they're going to be joining us this Thursday and Friday on the streets of New York City with a couple of performers that will do some live performances at Anita's Way, and also some video projections as well. So audience members and people walking through Times Square can get a sense of the movement and the dance. They're a program from Brooklyn, and they're an arts education not-for-profit that fosters very rich positive growth amongst young people in difficult circumstances. And we adore working with them. We love their movement. We love how they sort of open up the human body and mind and spirit, and believe that they're a valuable and important voice in this conversation of gender equity. And so they'll be doing some dance movements with this inspiration of what gender equity means for Wicked Equity this Thursday and Friday.
Let's take a listen. Okay, well, we're going to try to find that. Meantime, the phone lines are open. If you have any questions or comments, how do you feel about gender and transgender equity in New York City or elsewhere? Do you have any stories of your own to share? What about this idea of all of these male statues? And what's up with the women? Where are the women? And what is it going to take in order to get any of that happen? So let me turn back to you, Anne. What is the goal? What is it that you hope to have come out of this program?
There are several goals. The first goal, I think, is to open up a dialogue, to make people aware of what they might be passing by every day. I mean, we walk by past these statues every day without sometimes even noticing them. At the same time, these statues are telling our history. And I think we should get back to that and rethink and understand what histories are being told. Basically, when we started to organize and curate this event, we became aware that there are more horses than women on the pedestals here in New York City. Is this really something that we are striving for, or do we want representation of the population? And when it comes to that, we want to create a new balance. We want to set up AR monuments of very interesting and important figures that are non-male identifying, be it women, be it trans women, be it non-binary persons, so that everybody feels represented here in New York City in the public spaces. And this is why we're so excited that the event not only happened in March, as we initially thought, but it gained a lot of traction and very much interest, not only in this city, but in countries all over the world. And so Make Us Visible is going to happen in Venice in Italy. It's going to happen in Munich in Germany. It's going to happen in Worms in Germany. And we have interest in L.A.,
I'm sorry. I want to jump in for a second because we have a caller and we love to get callers on.
Wonderful.
I want to make sure we have time. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your question or comment?
Yes, good morning. My name is Fidel. I'm calling from Jersey City. I just want to tell you that I love all the diversity because we're all different animals, so for lack of a better word. So I love all of that. However, in that same context, I'm feeling a little bit ostracized as a gay male that is not effeminate. And it seems like my style of man, once again, for lack of a better term or word, it has been all but erased. It is now what sucks up all the energy in the room, which is great. I'm so glad that we're paying attention to others. But it seems like you have to be a Billy Porter or a RuPaul to get where you have command of a dialogue. I've had a lot of questions about smallpox, about monkeypox. And, you know, that's another topic. I'm not going to go down that road. But what I'm trying to get at is that I'm feeling ostracized within my own community because I don't see the representation of men that act and look like myself in the media, in the public square, in any kind of dialogue. And I would like for there to be some kind of discussion with people like myself.
Thank you. Listen, don't get off the line, but I want to just ask you a question. So if you represent a particular subset of that community, is there any activism by people within your subset to force the recognition and visibility that you would like to see?
Well, it seems like that was my subset of the gay community. Was prevalent in the 80s, and ever since the 80s, we have been completely wiped out of the map. I mean, you don't see this is the term that we use in marketing.
Okay. I'm sorry, I wanted to leave time for the guests to ask, and I was hoping Stokely Carmichael used to say, you know, we're past the time for description and time is now for prescription. So I was trying to hear whether there was any movement, and it sounded like you were sliding back into describing the problem again.
But hold on.
I just wanted to say that, but then I've got to go into a break, and I want to make sure that Ann and Clara have a chance to respond. So thank you for calling, and back again. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling, and I'm sorry you're feeling ostracized, and I acknowledge that it was a little hard for me to hear everything through the audio, but this festival is definitely not the anti-male festival, and I do acknowledge what you're sharing. One thing that I'm very excited to share on Thursday and Friday is a lot of men who are cis-straight men, who are cis-gay men, who will be performing and presenting. And so if you come to the event Thursday or Friday, if you're able to stream in through the YouTube that we might have happening, do check in, because there are some really powerful groups who are speaking to exactly this concern about how do we co-create and coexist in this togetherness with gender equity and not ostracize groups. One group I want to shout out to is Remaking Manhood.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The time has run out. Thank you for that call. It was hard to hear. I didn't quite hear your name, but please call back again, and thank you for bringing up that important issue. So I want to thank you all for three things. First of all, for all of your creativity. Second, for putting on this great event. I can't wait to check it out, and I hope lots of our listeners come down and introduce themselves and mention that they heard it on this show. And also, I want to thank you for getting up in the morning and coming on here. And we're going to have you back when the She's Excited album comes out. So we're going to be having more of you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to be going to some messages. In the second half of the program, we're going to be talking about No Justice, No Sports. Mainstream black entertainment moves into the social justice field. So stay with us.
Hey, want to make a difference? Join the WBAI Outreach and Fundraising Task Forces on Monday, July 25th at 7 p.m. to make WBAI fiscally strong again. By phone, use 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. The meeting ID is 922-457-2995 or WBAI-LSB-995. That's 922-457-2995. The passcode is like our frequency, 995-995-99. That's Monday, July 25th, 7 p.m. To join by web or for more details, visit the meeting section of WBAI.org. Again, Monday, July 25th, 7 p.m.
Police shooting case from Baton Rouge in just a moment, but first to the latest incident of deadly force. A man was shot and killed by an officer during a traffic stop.
Truth slips through the system, yet the goodness never sees the light of day. So we fight for what is right against injustice day and night. To achieve this goal, that's the only way. Somebody's colorful, someone is faceless, someone is powerful, somebody's tasteless. This one, that one, another one.
Welcome back to Good Morning Nueva York. If you're just joining us, my name is King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. In the background, Justice by Dumpster Funk, the New Orleans band. And in the second half of the program, No Justice, No Sports. Mainstream black entertainment moves into the social justice field. They held a national summit in Midtown Manhattan this past Saturday. We'll take you to their gathering and we'll play some of the public service announcements that they have put together of police brutality survivor families telling their stories. So the event was called, the Urban Justice Coalition Summit, and it was the inaugural social justice convention. It was held this past Saturday, July 24th, in Midtown Manhattan. It's a project of Roc Nation, and if you don't know Roc Nation, that's the organization that was founded by entertainer, rapper, label, what's that word that they use? Impresario, Jay-Z. And the organization has moved into representing artists, representing athletes, and now they've gotten into the social justice field. And that was kind of on the tail of professional football player Colin Kaepernick's punishment, that's the way I put it, for taking a knee in protest of police brutality. And so Roc Nation and the United Justice Coalition held this event. And the part that we're going to focus on is the panel that they had on police brutality. And part of that panel included some folks that whose cases you may know and some folks whose cases you may not be as familiar with. And so let me name some of the people who were part of the panel. What we're going to do is we're going to listen to some of the sound from the panel, but we're also going to listen to some public service announcements that were created by the United Justice Coalition in partnership with various organizations that have come together to raise the awareness of police brutality. And what's interesting about this is that it has risen to the level of mainstream entertainment through Roc Nation and UJC. And we'll take a listen and then we'll have a conversation about what happens when you mainstream these issues. You know, are we reaching a wider audience? Are there any drawbacks? That will be for you to decide when we open up the phone lines. So let's take a listen to the first part of this. Let's see. Let's go to, we're going to listen to one of the PBS's public service announcement. And this one is going to be about the Botham Jean case. And Botham Jean was one of the later victims of police brutality. And I'm going to give you some of the details of that before we actually take a listen to it. So I had a chance to meet Botham Jean's sister before she got part of the panel. And so Botham Jean was killed on September 6, 2018. He was 26. You may remember this case. He was killed by a black, white, off-duty Dallas woman police officer named Amber Geiger, who went into the accountant's apartment, Botham was an accountant, and fatally shot him. Geiger said that she thought she was in her own apartment and that he was a burglar. So at first she was charged only with manslaughter, and that led to huge protests and accusations of racism since he was unarmed and in his own home, and she was violating police policy. She was later indicted for murder, found guilty of murder, and sentenced to 10 years. Let's take a listen to the PSA for Botham Jean's case.
Botham Jean is my son. He is an active child. He is the light in any dark room.
Botham is my little brother. He is the kindest, sweetest person you could ever know. He is funny. If my mom and I have a disagreement, we would stop. Let's call Botham. Let's see what he says.
He just loved people. He was very particular of the company he kept. So I felt that he was not in harm's way.
Botham was in his apartment watching football, eating ice cream. And the officer came in and killed him.
To know Botham was to love Botham. The world has lost a great man. He was destined for greatness.
Botham was everything to us. I just can't do without him being here. I look forward to the day Botham would have gotten married, having kids. Life is not sweet anymore.
Yeah, what I hope to see happening is that our black boys are not seen as a threat.
The color of my skin can be perceived as a weapon, and it's not.
What has happened to Botham should not happen to another family.
I started the Botham Jean Foundation. We have to continue where Botham started and just keep his legacy going for years and years to come.
Why should there be hatred for each other? My young son demonstrated forgiveness. Brent, forgive one who just killed his brother.
There are things that must be done and must be done quickly. We must change this all around.
Okay, so now we're going to take you to a segment from the panel that was held there. And you're going to hear the voices of Gwen Carr, the mother of Eric Garner, Dr. Tiffany Crutcher, who's the sister of Terrence Crutcher, and Alyssa Findlay. And this is their conversation during the panel. And Alyssa Findlay is the sister of Botham Jean, and you just heard her story. And let me just tell his also. No, you know what? Let's go to the clip, and then we'll pick up the conversation.
We relate, talk with each other. We call each other anything that's happening. And then we have events. We go to each other's events. And we become just like family. And we are family because of what happened. Because no one, if you're not in this club, you can't really understand the feeling that, you know, the tragedy, the anxiety, the grieving that we go through. But when we call each other, if we're having a bad day, and on our dark days, sometimes you just want to stay in bed, pull the covers over your head, and that's okay. Sometimes that's what we do. But afterwards, we have to fight. And when we fight together. We get encouragement from each other. We get embracement from each other. And that's what the sisterhood is about. And a lot of times when we're together, we don't focus on the tragedy. We all know the tragedy. We love on each other. We conversate. And if we talk about our children or our brothers or sisters, we talk about how funny they were, how silly they were, and what we remember most about them. So, you know, it's bittersweet when we get together.
You know, it's just really comforting to know that you're around people who've been through the same thing. And I would be remiss if I didn't just shout out a lot of other sisters and brothers who's lost their loved ones who came to support us. They're in the audience right now.
Would you have to stand?
Yeah, if you all would still, would please stand. Tatiana Jefferson's sisters, Jamil Rose's mother, Monta Rosa's sisters, that's what this is really about. We understand each other, and it's a beautiful display of community. And, you know, Ayanna Pressley said that the people closest to the pain are closest to the solutions. And so we made a decision that we would not rest until we got justice for our loved ones. And so Alyssa and I, she'll call and say, let's go knock on the doors of Congress and make them hear us. And we've done that over and over again. I remember being in meetings with the members of Congress with Valonis Floyd and Mrs. Carr and Alyssa. And we sat at the table and we cried for help. Because we wanted them to do what was right, because our loved one's blood is on that George Floyd Justice and Peace Policing Act. Our loved one's blood is on the ballot box. And so we've come together to really activate our power collectively to really disrupt. And so I'm just glad that people understand what I've been through personally.
I like to speak with families that have been there before me. I lost my brother in 2018, so I like to reach out to persons like Mr. Carr and Tiffany and Dr. King that I met on the call, because this year I'll be 4 years in, and I'm still angry. So I want to know from those who have been there before, what do they do with that anger? I know for me, I've been trying to channel my anger into purpose. I have advocated for the Botham Jean Boulevard, the street renaming where Botham lives. We have the Botham Jean Act in Texas, which makes it illegal for police officers to turn off their body cam during an active crime scene. But as a big sister, who wasn't there to protect her brother, I still feel like it's not enough. So I'm holding on to my anger. I know it's not healthy, but that's why I look for advice from those who have been through this before, because yes, we're doing good with it, but we are still grieving families. So that's why I like to get advice from those who have been there before me.
And that is some sound from the United Justice Coalition Social Justice Summit that was held in Midtown Manhattan this past Saturday, UJC, and its sponsor, Rock Nation, the Black Entertainment Sports Representation Company. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. This program is Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in studio. And we're going to be opening up the phone lines now. You can call in at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. The conversation can be about the first half, transgender and gender equity and the arts. It can be about the second half of the program. What's your reaction to not only the awareness and the fight for justice around police brutality, but what about major entertainment companies coming in and being able and beginning to raise the conversation on the highest level? Is there anything that we gain? Is there anything that we lose? We'll pick up on that. The phone lines are open, 212-209-2950 or anything else. I'm sorry, 2877 or anything else you want to talk about. I jumped the gun on the other number because I'm asking you, as you're standing by to call in and we're getting ready to go back to the program, I'm asking you to support the station. Support WBAI, and there are three main ways that you can do it, and the number I just gave is the way to do it. The first is to become a member for as little as $25. Larger donations get you great gifts, books, music, health products, films, all sorts of things. Go to give2wbai.org or 212-209-2950. It is so important to support this station. We don't realize that every time we watch commercial television, if we're not paying monthly fees to a cable station, it's built into the prices of everything we buy. And those prices are going up very quickly now. Where else are you going to learn about the issues of inflation, the subterfuge in some of the backlogs in products and shipping, and that prices are increasing faster than costs, has been exposed by a number of think tank organizations, that where else are you going to find out what's really going on but to come here to WBAI? So make a donation as a member. The second way you can support us is by being a WBAI buddy. One of our listeners, one of our supporters, who arranges for monthly automatic donations from their account to the station's account for as little as $10 a month, and bringing WBAI, 62-year-old community listener-sponsored progressive public radio, bringing in the income every month that the station can use. The third way to support us, support WBAI at give2wbai.org, is make a special donation, even if you have already supported us, thank you for that, by supporting our tower fund, $17,000 a month to bring the signal to you, whether it's through a radio or through the computer and internet. It comes through our transmitter and tower, and that steep rent is as high as the building is, $17,000 a month, and that is no joke. And we have had campaigns and caught up, slipped behind again. We're asking you to make a special donation to keep us on the air to the Tower Fund. And we're going to go back to our conversation now, but the phone lines are open. You know what? Before we get to our next recording, let's take a call. And then we'll continue with more of the PSAs from the UJC Summit and some more of the actual panel featuring some of the family survivors of police brutality. So, caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Your question or comment?
It's Russ up in White Plains.
Okay. Go ahead, Russell.
You know, when that person was talking about channeling anger with purpose, it made me think of January 6th. They had a lot of anger, and they were being very purposeful, but of course, we don't all agree with what they were doing. But, King, I wanted to know, you may not understand this, but I would like to know how a person who hasn't experienced menstruation can know essentially what it is to be a female. I wanted to ask those people because I feel like they're kind of mixing gender equity with transgender equity, and gender equity is something between males and females, and I think they're using that disparity to bootstrap their own situation. But if you could explain what
Don't go anywhere. I don't want you I don't want you to drop something and then run off. Why would you feel that women who are raising gender equity and transgender equity, what are they using the issue? How are they using the issue? Just explain that to me.
I think they're blending things. I mean, we all know gender equity between males and females is an issue, and it's been an issue for a long time, and it continues to be an issue. But what they're doing is they're conflating the two issues, which are different. The equity for people who choose to dress up in another presentation of self or whatever they're doing doesn't make them an essential female, because to menstruate, to experience, blood
hold
coming
on.
From between your legs is
hold
something
on, hold on.
That no man
hold.
Can know.
Come on, hold on now.
Hey, I'm sorry to express it like that, but...
That was a little on
I'm
the crude
sorry.
Side. Yes, it was. Yes, it
I'm
was.
Sorry
but
about that.
But why would you define gender? Why would you, as a man, define gender by an external biological marker that you hold dear? Whereas there are people, and these are not just people who, quote, dress up. These are people who have claimed, and I'm so sorry that they're not here to speak on
this. Yeah, me too.
But you know, we're going to have them back for the album, so you can talk about it then.
Yeah.
So I'll just get one reaction from you. So why would you use, your standard in order to promote this when there are people who say they have felt this way their entire lives, no matter what biological accompaniments they have?
What you stated in your question, it's a biological thing. A gender expression is not a biological thing. It's something that they are choosing to do for whatever reason.
Wait a minute. Did you choose to be male?
Yes.
Did you choose to be, quote, male and identify as male? Did you choose that? When did you choose that? How old were you?
Since adolescence, I felt I was a blend of male and females because I was exposed to the Buddhist religion, okay? I don't need some Western understanding of male and female to tell me who I am, okay?
Well, why would you then do the same thing and claim some Western standard in order for them to determine how they identify? You're doing the same thing.
I understand I have components of male and female essences within me, and I present as a male, but I don't present as a male and then turn around and present as a female. It's something I can't stop doing, and they can. And that's the difference.
Wait a minute. Russell, we've got to leave it there.
Thank you, King, for your openness. Your show is great. I'll get a mail order money order in the mail. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's male as in M-A-I-L, I think he's saying. So I'm still waiting for that. But anyway... Well, let's see, our time is kind of short now, so I want to pick one or the other. Let's go to 10, and we'll skip Antoine Rose's story, which was a public service announcement that was put together by Meek Mill, who has also been working with Roc Nation and UJC to raise up this social justice awareness. But let's go to the families speaking at the UJC convention. You're going to hear from Michelle Kennedy, the mother of Antoine Rose. You're also going to hear from Dr. Bernice King, who, pay close attention, she's going to say something very significant about the assassination of her father that we have talked about on this radio station many times. Let's go.
We call it a lot. I know I do. I do. Probably from the pettiest things, because sometimes I get myself in situations. Honestly. But once we were on the call and everyone was talking and Alyssa posed the question and Dr. King answered, what this group gives me is the motivation to move forward. I look towards these people when I'm trying to figure out what I want to push my legislators to do, how much I want to irritate the DA in my district, how much I want to call the U.S. Attorney's Office. I'll go see what Ben is doing, I'll see what Alyssa's doing, I'll see what Tiffany's doing, and I'm like, okay, well, Alyssa called the DOJ, let me call the DOJ. Or Roc Nation just filed a lawsuit, let me go see if I can do that. So a lot of times we need one another.
I always pray that no one else joins this club, but I'm grateful for the people that are in it before me because they keep me standing every day.
We're talking about anger to advocacy. You have been sustaining a multi-generational legacy of that advocacy. What would you advise to these women? How do you move from anger to advocacy, and how do you sustain that?
Let me just say this at the outset, because I said this in the call. A lot of people don't know, for our family, James and Ray did not kill our father. We did a civil trial in 1998 and discovered that it was a conspiracy entity that involved our federal government and local law enforcement.
Well, no.
What we discovered is it was law enforcement who assassinated our father. So I wanted to put it in context so that people understand that we're in kind of the same shoes in a different way. For me, I was 5 years old and didn't quite comprehend a whole lot at that time. But it was exacerbated because my uncle was found in his pool dead a year later. We believe it was connected to what he knew about the assassination because he was with my father on that day and night. And we just celebrated the 21st in memory of his death back in 69. I was six. Then 11, my grandmother was shot in church. So that's a lot for a little girl back then. I mean, because that just, those kind of things were unheard of. We didn't have other people. We had a unique set of circumstances. So who would we go to? I thank God that you all have each other. Not that you're in the club together, but that you have each other, because that's the important part of this. My mother helped us keep it together. The things that she sowed into our lives, the teachings that she lived and that she talked about. And I tell people those things that she gave to us were very important because they're fertilizers for my life today. They help me to stay focused in the work that I do. But I went through years and years of anger that turned to bitterness and rage. And things happened, you know, I don't want to say it so much publicly, and I realized I had to address that because for me, the anger was destroying me. You know, the object of the anger didn't even know. So I was being destroyed and poisoned inside. So I had to figure out how to turn all of that around. And so what I say to people today is, number one, they are all very early on. My dad's been gone 54 years. I'm 59. I have to deal with pictures, obviously, all the time, on the balcony, in the casket. I mean, just the reminders of the, you know. But it doesn't mean I don't still have that emotion, because that's a human emotion. The Bible even says, be angry and sin not. So it's okay to be angry. I want to say that first. It is okay to be angry. Don't try to run away from anger. Do what you just said, which is to continue channeling that anger into something constructive. That's what you have to do, because again, it hurts you and damages you more than whatever the object is of that emotion. And so, you know, that's the best advice I can give to my sisters, and continue to look to each other.
You know how I feel.
You heard it there. Thank you for listening in. We've got to wrap up. Wasn't that something? Bernice King saying that law enforcement killed her father, Martin Luther King Jr. We've had so many programs about that. You can still get that premium. But anyway, I've got to move on. You've been listening to Good Morning Nueva York. I've been your host, King Downing, on WBAI and streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. Coming up next, What's Going On? And please become a member of the station. make a donation to the Tower Fund or become a WBAI buddy and get more of this great radio. Thanks to all the callers. I will see you later. Have a great day.
Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free.
WBAI New York, we're at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Just before we go on to the next program, what's going on with Bob Henley?